This is Ted and PK, and thanks for listening to this highlight from Faith Radio Mornings.
To learn more about our show or how you can support us, log on to myfaithradio.com.
It's 7:38 Faith Radio Mornings here with Ted and PK. We have a great interview lined up right now. Judd Wilhite is our guest. He is author of the book Pursued, God's Divine Obsession with You. And Judd has quite a testimony, quite a story. He's currently author, speaker, and senior pastor of Central Christian Church. This is a church founded in Las Vegas and has multiple campuses there. A unique place to do ministry. We look forward right now to welcoming Judd to the show. Good morning, Judd.
Hey, Ted, PK. Great to be with you guys.
Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. And, you know, I think we've all known what it's like to perhaps be running the opposite direction of maybe where God wants us to go. Tell us a little bit about your story, though, because you were involved in a variety of things that probably weren't putting a smile on God's face at that time.
Absolutely. Well, like many people, I spent a lot of years on the run and running from God, certainly for many years before I became a follower of Jesus. And then later after that, running for God, which in its own way, I think, can be equally exhausting when you're consistently trying to prove your worth and make up for past mistakes and earn your way with God. And so Pursued was really all about realizing that God is, that I don't have to run from Him or for Him. I can run to Him and rest in Him and His amazing love for me.
And there's multiple examples of God's pursuit of humanity as displayed in the Bible. You specifically focus on the book of Hosea in this book that you've written. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, Hosea is this amazing story that, you know, if you grew up in church or religious circles, it's probably not one they taught a lot in Sunday school, right? It's not one they put up on the flannel board, yeah. But really, it's incredible. In fact, I'm convinced if the greatest picture of God's love for us is what God did for us in Jesus Christ and sending Him as a sacrifice, then the second greatest picture of His love has got to be in the book of Hosea, because there God asked a prophet to do something He never asked anybody to do before or since. He asked a prophet to marry a prostitute so that His prophet, His spokesman, would understand the heartbreak of betrayal and pain that he was experiencing with his people, and out of that be able to represent Him. It's a remarkable, fascinating story.
Can you imagine doing that now as, like, for yourself as a pastor or for Ted and I, you know, we're in Christian ministry with Christian radio, that you marry someone who comes out of a past like that? Don't you think, for me, that would be a little daunting if
Scandal,
God ordered that, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm.
Can't you imagine, like, the first thought in his mind being like, hey, God, I'm like a prophet, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a reputation
out of
hold here, you know?
Don't you know who I am?
Don't you know who I am? And then he finds himself in this situation where literally the text says she's having kids after their marriage with different fathers. He's having to name them these really horrible names that represent sort of God's relationship with His people at the time. But it all becomes this incredible, incredible picture of God's pursuit of us. I mean, at one point, God comes to Hosea, and his wife's gone, and she's in a seedy part of town. She's continuing to be unfaithful and live in unfaithfulness and work in prostitution. And God comes to Hosea and says, you go and find her and show her your love again. And you read that, and you just go, wow, it's not like he's waiting for her to come back to him. Mm-hmm. It's saying, Hosea, you pursue. And then he says, because this is how I love the Israelites. So I just think it's a picture of God's pursuit of us.
Yeah, well, and the location that you're at there in Las Vegas, that's kind of staring you in the face, isn't it? Some of this seedy underworld of humanity, so to speak, with prostitution and everything else we hear about.
Yeah, we see a lot of people on the run from God and a lot of people running for God after they come to faith because they're trying to make up for all the things that they've done, which you just can't do. You got to rest in His grace and live out of it. And so it's all kind of right in front of us, the extremes. But it's also wonderful. You know, I really have loved, I've been here basically a decade in the Las Vegas area, and I've loved it, loved just the extremes of seeing God rescue people and then put them on that path of hope. And it reminds us, no matter where any of us are at in our lives, no matter where we are in our spiritual journey, God will meet us there and do amazing things if we'll open our heart to Him.
What was it like for you in your life, kind of going back a little ways, before you were into ministry, before you even were in this becoming the follower of Jesus that you are now? What was it like? Because you talk about a former life of being a carjacker, involved with drugs. Tell us a little bit about that period of your life and then how God grabbed you.
Well, I went down that path that many people do, where, you know, it was just one thing led to another. When I was, I believe, 13 years old, I started using drugs for the first time, and, you know, first at parties, and then very quickly with a small group of friends, and then just in complete isolation, and developed an addiction that carried forward in my life for about 4 years. And, you know, in the midst of that, made a lot of really bad choices and did a lot of things that I deeply regret. But through that process, I think I just kept running from God. I just felt like, man, he was out to get me. If he found me, like my list of crimes and misdemeanors was getting longer every day, that he was just going to write me up for this massive ticket. And that's what I'd be paying for the rest of my life. And so in that process, you know, sort of at the end of a four-year addiction, I finally came to this place of just being so tired. I was just so exhausted and tired of running, and I didn't know what else to do. And I'll never forget just getting on my knees and turning myself in, if you will. You know, saying, all right, you know, finally, God, I'm going to surrender. And I don't know where I had this idea that God was pursuing me to sort of write me up, but it was in me. I don't know if it was cultural or from my parents and family or from Texas, the state that I grew up in, or if it was just kind of something that I just felt, and I couldn't always explain it. But what was so beautiful for me was when I finally surrendered and turned myself in to Christ, that you realize he isn't pulling you over to give you a ticket. He's pulling you over to propose a relationship. And that's what Hosea pictures, that relationship of marriage between God and a person, as the metaphor for our relationship with him.
And all of a sudden, this big ticket that you think that God's going to write out with all your offenses on, and it just vanishes. How cool is that?
Jesus pays for it, right? Yeah. I mean, he cancels the written aspect of our debt, which is an amazing, amazing thing. And it's been 23 years now, and I'm still not over it. So
that's good. Well, we hope you never quite recover.
That's right.
We're talking with Judd Wilhite this morning about his book, Pursued, God's Divine Obsession with You. And Judd, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. I want to talk about the true joy of being caught and what that has meant for your life and your ministry right now, too. It's 7:45. We'll be right back. This is Faith Radio Mornings.
There you go. Yeah, 7:48 here at Faith Radio
Mornings.
I like
that a lot. That's good.
A blast from the 80s. Brian Adams put in a Christian context, of course. God pursuing us. God is running to us, and he never gives up on us. Pursued is the name of the book by Judd Wilhite. It's God's divine obsession with you that is unending and never changing. And Judd, we thank you again for your time this morning and for this book. This is awesome.
Oh, thank you. I'm so honored to be with you guys.
Well, and, you know, I'm thinking about this, maybe about the person that is listening this morning that maybe stumbled on the station even, that feels like, you know, God would not welcome me back because I have crossed way too many lines. I've gone way too far in my sin, and I just think I'd burst into flames if I stepped foot inside a church. What do you say to people like that?
Well, I understand that feeling, and I would just say, you know, the amazing thing about God is he not only would welcome you back, but he paid for you to come back. He bought you back, literally. He doesn't just call us back, he buys us back. And Jesus paid for our sins in full. He paid for all of the mistakes and the failures in our lives. And so for me, the most amazing realization was that here I'm pursuing God and thinking, you know, if I work hard enough, God will notice me. If I run fast enough, God will recognize me. But the amazing story of the good news of the Bible is that God was actually pursuing me. He's pursuing you. He's coming towards you. You in love. And the greatest picture that I see of that is just think about the story in Hosea of a prophet who has married a prostitute, and again she's unfaithful. Again and again she turns her back on her husband, and God tells him, you continue to pursue her just like I pursue my people. In fact, at one point he goes to the seedy part of town and literally has to buy her back from her captors. He literally has to negotiate with her pimps to say to be able to bring his wife back home, and he pays the price of a common slave for her. And it's an amazing picture of this is what God has done for us in Jesus. He's paid the price. So there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you have done. There's nothing you'll ever do. There's no way you can bomb out so big in your life that you're outside of the potential love and mercy of God. Just open your heart to it and know it's there. Know God's pursuing you. He's coming to you, wooing you, calling you into a relationship with him. And he's doing that right now, today.
As a pastor and a shepherd of a congregation in Las Vegas, you must see this happen too, just in counseling with people, in just even being out and about, and you see how God's pursuing them. What is that like for your heart? Because you've been there, and to watch them being pursued but still running the other way, how does that make you feel?
Well, it's heartbreaking, and I think I hope that, you know, as we grow in our faith, we kind of get to a place where we have a little bit more of a spiritual maturity and perspective on God, because you realize, you know, they're not only hurting themselves, they're missing the real joy that can be experienced in life, and they're missing what life is fundamentally all about. And I don't feel judgment towards them, honestly, because I ran for so long and I still run in my own ways and I'm on that journey together. It's not so much looking down at them. It's more compassion and pity towards those that are in our neighborhoods and lives that are running from God, and just praying that God, you know, bring them to a place where they finally surrender so that they can experience this joy. I think at the end, what I just desire for everybody is to experience the joy of being caught and the joy of being a follower of Jesus in their life. And I don't feel like I have all the answers. I just feel like I know the guy that does. I'm hanging on to him. Yeah.
Right. Well put, Judd Willett. Uh-huh. Judd Willett, our guest here at Faith Radio Mornings. He's authored the book Pursued, God's Divine Obsession with You. He's also pastor of Central Christian Church in Las Vegas, has multiple campuses there, and just a great ministry that he's doing. So you've talked earlier, Judd, about the feeling of God being kind of a cosmic cop, pulling people over to write them tickets, so to speak. But you say that he's in pursuit, and he is pulling us over, but he has another idea in mind. What is that idea, and what do you mean?
Well, the primary metaphor, if you will, of our relationship with God that he introduces in the Bible is one of marriage. And so what God desires for us is this marital relationship. Now, you think about the difference between like a mortgage, you know, when you sign your mortgage and you sign all those papers and, you know, it's this amazing stack of papers. And then a marriage certificate, that's just one little paper. I mean, at least, especially in Nevada, you go down and you get your marriage certificate. All you need to do is show your ID and, you know, we'll marry you right there in Nevada. It can happen that day. So, you know, when you think about your relationship with God, it's more than just all these rules and, you know, like this huge mortgage stack. And a lot of times we think God's pulling us over to, you know, to just simply bring up all the things that we've done wrong. And certainly there is that aspect of it in our lives. But God uses marriage as the picture for our relationship with us. He's pulling us over more to propose. He's pulling us over more to introduce us into the life he designed us to live. And when we surrender to that life, when we walk in it, we experience the joy of that relationship in such profound ways. So one of the things about the story of Hosea and Gomer that's so fascinating to me is, you know, the first time the marriage metaphor is really blown out for our relationship with God in the Bible, you see it in not a story of a prince and a princess and not a story of, you know, a Disney characters. It's a prophet and a prostitute. The first time it's really blown out in the Old Testament is in the book of Hosea. So it's a picture of God's unfailing love towards his people. He's inviting us into this journey that's not unlike a marriage.
And I think that's really so important to understand, because when others are being pursued or they're hearing even about what it's like to have faith in Jesus, it all gets slapped under this title of religion, and it's a bunch of rules for do's and don'ts, and they figure they're just not going to have any fun anymore because now everything is, you know, is a no. And that brings it right back into the real context, doesn't it, of this relationship and how it's so different than that.
Yeah, I think religion, there's good religion, you know, you read about in the Bible, Book of James says good religion is taking care of orphans and widows, and so there is good religion, but most of the time religion, at least as we often use the term, it's not so healthy for our lives, because it kind of enters into this sort of rules relationship with God that misses the heart of the matter. In many ways, if it's just religious, then we're often relating to God kind of like we would a used car salesman. You know, it's like with a used car salesman, you want to get the best deal you can. He wants to sell you the car at the best rate he can, and so you're bargaining with God. God, I'll go to church, I'll do the right things, I'll give money, I'll read my Bible, but here's what I expect from you. You'll give me, you know, 2.5 happy kids and a great car and a beautiful house, and you sort of take care of all these things in my life. And bargaining with God, I mean, you know, when you think that really he owns everything anyway, it's kind of like borrowing your neighbor's lawnmower and trying to sell it back to him. You know, it doesn't really work. So a relationship is really the image that I think comes out of the Bible, and that's a different kind of scenario. In a relationship, you're serving not to put God in debt to you or even to make up for your past mistakes. You're serving out of simple joy and gratitude for who God is. You give because you want to give. You're delighted to give because of who God is and what he's done for you. You read the Bible not just to know right and wrong, which is very important, but more than that, to know who God is and to be able to relate to him. And that relationship, I think, begins to guide us through all the ups and downs of life then.
And Jed, in the closing 2 minutes here, maybe talk to the person that isn't interested in this relationship. They're just fine living their life on their own, and they think, well, if I actually engage and realize and admit that God is pursuing me, that means I'm going to have to stop doing all these things I enjoy doing. What are your words for them?
Well, I think the primary encouragement I just have for you, if that's you today and you're going, man, I'm good to go. I don't really need this in my life, is you don't know what you're missing. Mm-hmm. So I would just say, hey, what does it hurt to really pause and to think a little bit about who God is and what he wants to accomplish in your life? And it's easy to focus on, well, I'll have to stop doing this and I'll have to stop doing that. But I really think that's not even the right conversation right now. The right conversation for you should be more about, God, you know, who are you and what do you ultimately want to do in my life? And I think when you begin to experience the joy and the delight of knowing God in your life, you realize all those other things that you didn't want to let go of, that you were so afraid to let go of, they're a lot easier to let go of than you think, and because you're grabbing a hold now of something that's way, way more important. And so what do you have to lose? You know, you reach out to God, you open your heart to God, and hey, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but you could say you reached out to him and you tried and you opened your heart to him. What do you really have to lose in that process? And so I just invite everybody to open their heart to his joy and to his love and to experience it. A lot of us think, man, if I open my heart to God, he's going to want to change me. He's going to want to give me a pocket protector and make me a complete nerd. And, you know, he's going to want to, like, make me look like whatever your perception is of Christianity. And my encouragement to you would be that what I've discovered is God really wants not so much a cookie-cutter people that everybody looks just like everybody else. He created us. He wants us to become the unique creation he designed us to be, and you become more uniquely yourself than ever before when you become a follower of Jesus. You become who he designed you to be with your unique interests and your unique gifts and your unique abilities, but at the same time, following him and experiencing really what life's all about, which is loving and serving him.
And I love, you can just hear the joy in your heart too, Judd. So thank you so much for sharing your book with us. Some thoughts from the book Pursued, God's Divine Obsession with You. And we've been talking with best-selling author and pastor Judd Wilhite. Thank you so much and blessings to you in your ministry in Vegas.
Thanks, PK, Ted. Appreciate it so much. Thank you for all you guys do.